It's great to be alive in the house of the Lord. Woo! With a family of like mind, and great things are going to happen and proceed from here. So praise the Lord. I just wanted to let you know that I prayed long and hard, and I said, Father, I want to get to church. But I was having some troubles once I got here on being able to get around. And I just felt real strong that I needed to go look for a power chair to be able to do that while I'm here, because it gives me the opportunity to get in behind my desk and get around, do what I need to do. And so by doing that, I got this thing here. The biggest thing is, I just want to let you know, it's not that I'm, because I even asked the Lord, I says, why would I want that if I'm going to start walking? Because I'm going to walk. He says, it's a season. He says, just know that you will be walking. But he says, it's perfectly fine to get this at the present time. He's not trying to indicate that I'm not going to walk. It's just the fact that I need to have something until I do walk, because I will walk. And there's a reason for that, and I know what that is. So I'm asking anybody. I know I've had people say, well, I just want you healed. Well, I do too. I want it the worst of all. But the fact is, when you see me, think about it, just praise the Lord that I'm healed. Right. Let's start accepting the healing. I will be up walking and having a great time and going to lose more weight and be able to do fantastic things. God's not through with us yet. God's not through with us yet. I know I had a word from Lincoln the other day. It was a really encouraging word. And my phone, I don't have it because I'm having some troubles with it. It got something in there that's causing major problems. But he took it, and he was talking basically about, even though you haven't seen maybe what you're thinking you're going to see, this is paraphrasing, that God is not through with you, and what you're going to see eventually is it's going to take off and go like wildfire, because what you've planted will grow. So we've got some great things coming ahead. We just have to look at the future, look at God, and keep our eyes going the way he wants us to go. So praise the Lord, praise the Lord. I just want to say that before we start today. I thank you, and also I guess we got a new camera now. It's a new digital one, and Sarah's working on that to get it all figured out what's happening, so that's a blessing. Our camera we had before was really getting old, so it was one of those things that had to be changed around. So praise the Lord for great and fantastic and new things. We bless God for that. So welcome to Gifts of Spirit Ministry Fellowship. I'm glad the weather is getting better. It got warm yesterday. Woo! Almost like summer, but I think today is explaining it's not summer yet. Oh, well. And the celebration of life was fantastic. It was just a blessing. It was just good to go back and remember all the things that we had. Great things with Chris and situations going on and all that kind of things that were going. We're blessed to have the family here. They're such a sweet family, and just amazing what's going on. And that was one thing that really hit me one night. I was just sitting there, and I started crying. I said, Lord, I see, because I wasn't really around that much. It seemed like I got my cart, you know, this chair, and I was going to get here and move around, get things lined up, and do some things in the church. And all of a sudden, everything came up, and I couldn't get here. So it wasn't the fact of not being able to be here and doing it. It was getting here. So I didn't make it, and everything was pretty well set up without me. And that's totally usually unusual for something like this. And then next thing I knew, I says, well, what am I supposed to do? And my wife says, you don't have to do much of anything. She says, the family's got it all figured out. I said, that's awesome. That was really fantastic. And then I start to realize, just hit me real hard one morning, this is exactly what Chris wanted. I'm sorry it didn't happen while he was alive, but the fact is he wanted his family to come together and minister together in unity. And I think, praise God, it happened. So it was a blessing. At least that happened. It was something that was good and helped, you know, thinking about that and seeing how the family was working together. It was a blessing. So we praise the Lord. So thank you, Father. I've been really praying, and this is about a 2-week now. These are fantastic glasses, my wife's. because I forgot my glasses. So just to let you know, I'm not trying to go stylish or anything. So anyway, it's one of those situations. You just got to do what you got to do. Because it was kind of crazy. I mean, forgive my glasses, but that's the way it goes. My eyes will be healed, too. That was one thing about it. Many years ago, I had my eyes. I had a segment in my right eye. I had glasses, wearing glasses all the time. You go to read something, your eyes would just pull, and they wouldn't. They hurt like crazy.
Did you say stigmatism?
Yeah. Stye or stigmatism, whatever it was. It was something on that order. Anyway, they took and I was a mechanic. It was hot, sweating, just running off of me, running all over my glasses, my hands full of grease, and trying to keep those glasses clean so I could see something. And I just got so mad, I said, God heal my eyes. He did. Threw my glasses away. But I, stupid, not knowing the truth, said, but I know when I get older, I'm going to have readers. So because of my ignorance when saying things that I shouldn't have said, guess what? I got readers. But this too shall come to pass because I've learned. It's the same thing with my neck. I was having a sore neck, very sore neck. It's hurting like crazy. And I was talking with a person named Victoria. She's out in New York City, in New York area. And I mentioned it to her. I says, yeah, boy, I have the worst sick, stiff neck because I'd rolled a truck when I was 30. And in doing so, I'd flipped it over and rolled it. My head hit the top of the cab. And I had stars go and knocked me out and hit my neck and the back in between my shoulder blades. Well, I've been through an MRI, and they said you've got narrowing of the spine. So every once a year, I would go up to our chiropractor, and he would thump me, about tear my head off, but he'd get my neck all back in order, and I was fine. Otherwise, I've had headaches underneath the eyes because it was a factor of that, you know, being messed up. And I was talking to her about it, and I says, I think I got a problem because they said I got narrowing of the spine because of the damage that I had, because that's what the doctor said. You're fine when they checked me out, but you might have a problem down the road. She says, that's a word curse. You shouldn't have anything. You know, there shouldn't be any problems. And she prayed for me. My neck cleared right up. Sometimes we say things that we don't think about or understand. It causes us more problems than what we realize. We're expecting something to happen, which is a normal factor, but God's not normal. He doesn't do the way things we should think about and the way the world thinks about it. We should realize what God can do is greater and above all those things. Well, I took, and this is my teaching last week when it snowed. I talked to myself a lot when I was home. And God gave me a lot of wisdom and knowledge through a lot of things that I needed to hear and understand that. It was an opportunity for the Lord to speak to me, so it was a blessing, but I miss being here. But I'm going back on the same theory that I've had for some time. Who are you in Christ? Who are you in Christ? This is a part three. It's on a similar order, but you know, there's sometimes repetition is a reputation. Oh, no, it's reputation. I used to say reputation all the time, but it's reputation. Whatever that one is, repetition brings what? Persuasion. And when you're persuaded, it's the biggest faith you can have. If you are not persuaded, you probably don't have great faith. You might have some weak faith. You might have some possible faith. You might be able to believe for a few things, but not for all things. But when you're so persuaded that this is the way it is, so many get so persuaded in the wrong way. And they have faith that causes them problems because what they say, what they do, how they act. That's just part of it. So if you know who you are in Christ and you are so persuaded about who you are, guess what? Things happen. For years, I was an introvert, backwards, didn't do anything, didn't feel like I could do anything, felt like I was the worst person in the world, messed up, miserable. Rotten, wondered why I was even born. And the Lord had to deal with me on some of those things. He had a hard time working with me to get me flipped around, but he finally did. And it came down to where I realize now a lot of it was because I wasn't trained in the church that I grew up. I was taught the understanding that they knew only and nothing that what the Lord really wanted me to go forth and get more wisdom and knowledge in. But that's why 3 weeks ago, now I think it was, I played a video. It was about an older lady that was 80 years old from Texas. I was going to hopefully play the video, but because of everything going on, it didn't work out that way. But I'll explain about what happened. She had said that she been a Christian for all of her life, did all these things. She went in and been to the meetings and all the chicken dinners and all the fundraisers and all the stuff that's happened. And her husband was always around, but her husband died, you know, several years before. And one day she came home from church and she climbed up in her husband's old recliner and was just sitting there and said, "Father, is this the only thing I've got to look forward to until I die and go see my husband?" That's all her heart was. That's all her direction was. That's all she knew. And she says, "God answered me in a strange way." You know, when you ask God, he's going to answer you one way or the other. I remember one time when I was in a Sunday school class and this guy was talking about this one lady and they said, "Well, she died." She says, "I don't understand it." He was mad. He says, "We had words and prophecies and people prayed and heard that she was going to live and all this stuff was going on and all this stuff was happening," and she was so mad because she died. And I was sitting there minding my own business. And all of a sudden, I heard in the Spirit. You know, God didn't, I was starting to talk to me a little more about that time because I was baptized in the Holy Spirit. And he said, "Ask him, did anybody get saved?" And sure enough, he did. He says, "Yeah." He says, "All their kids got saved." And she says, and the Lord said, "Tell him, I answered her prayer." He said, "Whatever it takes for her children to get saved." Sometimes we get prayers answered to what we don't think would take or what we're looking for. We ask, he'll perform it. It's like the time I had the heart or the stroke. And I said, "Why did I have a stroke? I was in the hospital recovering. Why did I have a stroke?" He said, "Because of your prayer." I says, "I didn't ask for a stroke." He said, "No, what did you say?" And he brought it back to my remembrance. "I'm not going to die until everything that I've done and I'm supposed to do on this earth is through." And he says, "Because you're thinking about selling this business, because at this building at this time, there was no money coming in. It was really tough, tougher than it had been for a long time. Always things have been paid off. It was just that time, and I was thinking, how are we going to sell this building? Because we hadn't bought it yet. It was doing a contract with another company. Said, how are we going to sell this, get the money, and then pay them off so this is all going to legally work out?" And I started thinking a lot about that. He says, "Because you start thinking that way," he says, "this is what you're called to do. And if you don't want to complete this, then it's done, it's over, and you might as well come home." I said, "Oh," he got my attention real fast. So that's when I took it. And at that time, I came back here, and when I got back here, Debbie came in with the finances, and I just put my hands on the finances, and I said, "Father, this is your building. It's your problem. You're going to keep it. You're going to pay for it. You bring it forth." And all the bills were paid. And during that time period, that's what happened. That was amazing. But see, it all because of my prayer and what was happening, what I started to do that caused different things happening. So we don't always know mysteries, but God will show you if you ask. But after I went to listen to that video, again, I was listening to it because I wanted to make sure I knew what I was talking about. I was going to play it, but it didn't work today. So, but the fact was, she said that was what happened, and all of a sudden, she said all she felt weird, and then she was in another place. And she said she looked at her hands, and it's like when they were 30 years old. Her voice was stronger, and she put her hand in her hair, and it was like his hair was thicker. And she says, wow, something's different. And then she's seen Jesus. She says, Jesus, is this heaven? He says, no, this is before heaven. He says, but I'm going to send you back. He says, you are here. Your body is on the floor at home. And you have a heart attack. And you've died. And the EMT are there, and they're going to resuscitate you. And the daughter's there. But I'm saying this again because you heard it before. You have to realize Jesus said something very important. You are here. You are here. Your body's on the floor. Your body's on the floor, but you're here. And he took her and started to show her the things about Trump and about what's going to happen in the future and what she needed to tell people. And then when she said she came back, she said one thing very, very important. I knew of God. I never knew God. That's what happened to me. I knew of God, but I never knew God. All the way through the church, all my heart, my desire, when I gave my life to Christ at 16 years old, went to before the consistory, and they had asked me a lot of questions, and they accepted me. I became a member of the church. You know, and that was a big thing for me at that time. My whole family was involved in the church. I didn't want to leave that church because I loved the church. I loved the people. My family were there. But God drugged me out because he says you can't grow and do what I want you to do, staying in that position and in that situation. So, I mean, it was kind of tough, but we got there and we've changed and we made it quite differently. But then I've gotten to know who God is. Big difference. When you become to know who you are in Christ, greater things shall come to pass. So then I took and it was amazing. Later that week, I was sitting at home on Thursday morning. Presence of God walked in. And he said, about that video, he said, I showed that to you to explain, because he's been working on a process in me. He said, Adam lost my favor, lost my plan, lost the Holy Spirit by sin. So when Adam was doing great, Adam was created in the image of God. I just want to bind up some strong man spirits right now. In the name of Jesus, we bind up the strong man spirit. We break the hardness of the hearts. We ask that the mind will be open and the heart will receive what you want to bring forth today in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is very important for this season, as things are going to get tougher and tougher until you're going to get things flipped around. When they flipped around, it'll be easier and easier. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we just release your anointing. We thank you for your presence, and we ask that you bring revelation knowledge in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. As I was saying that, the Lord said to come back and explain the three things that the angel or the devil does to get you. First thing, you think you're worthless and God can never love you. So you give your life to Christ and you're still walking that way till finally you overcome that. When you overcome that, then all of a sudden he grabs other people around to tell you how bad you were and how rotten you were and how God wouldn't ever love anybody like you. But then when you overcome that, then he gets you sick. And you're thinking, oh, now what I do? What's my problem? You know, and before you get through, you start to realize and God will heal you and you get healed and things get going. And everything's going along perfectly smooth. And boom, he'll come in and he'll pull the rag out from underneath you. And whoa, what happened? Throw you in a tailspin like you never knew about. Why? Because you weren't ready for it. See, when things are going great is when you need to look out the worst for everything. Not in the trials, not in the tribulations, but when you've got things going so good, that's when the enemy is going to come in and pull that rug out from underneath you and flop you down, and then you're going to have to figure out what's going on. Seeing that happen is quite something. But that's what the Lord wants you to know about it. That's the weaponry that the devil has. The only thing he can do is get you to fear and get you to think you need to do something. I know in the 60s it said one thing. It talked about, laughing, I think they called it. And they always said, the devil made me do it. The devil made me do it. The devil made me do it. One day the Lord said, no, I didn't. No, he didn't. He says, he wanted you to do it, but you did it. He wanted you to do it, but you did it. That's what it is. He tries to get you tempted in such a way. That's his whole job, is to tempt you so that you will fall short of the glory of God. That's his whole job. That's everything he is. He knows who you are. He knows what you have. He knows how miserable you are. He knows your hurts. He knows your pains. If you don't get rid of them, he can use it to destroy you. That's why I say so strong. If you've got something that's bothering you, there's something that needs to be done, get in and let's talk about it and get it resolved. Why? Because he will use that against you. He will hurt you. He will hurt others because of what is hurting you. Anytime somebody comes against you, it's usually because they have a hurt in you. And the devil knows inside that person exactly what it takes to hurt you. And he will use that person very strongly to hurt you. That's a spiritual truth that's going on there. So anyway, when I was watching that video, the Lord and Jesus came in and started to talk to me. When God sent Jesus down, he came back to restore us back to the original form when he created Adam. So I never had any clue, I never had any understanding, never realized this. That's redemption. In other words, he made us in his image, body, soul, and spirit. We have a body, our temple, we have a soul, which comes from God. That's our attributes, our mind, will, and emotion. And the Spirit of God was upon him. And he was a king. He was a king. That was a kingdom. I didn't realize that. That's why Miles Monroe said that the Bible is about a king and a kingdom. When you start to look at it that way instead of religiously, you'll start to see some different patterns. Everything has to do with kingdom principles. Kingdom principles. But the problem is, from the Old Testament, the kingdom principles got shot down because of sin. And they start walking under the prince, which was underneath the king, which was sin. It was sin-based. And it went that way. I'm saying basically the same thing, but there's a process I'm going through this, because you've got to get to Revelation. If you do, praise God. Just bear with me so you can tell others exactly what they need to know, so we get things going here. But anyway, Jesus came to destroy the curse of the law. And we've talked about that. He went from, and when he did that, the curse of the law was when Adam sinned. That was the curse of the law. From then on down to Jesus, when he died, that was the main thing that was going on. That's why people got together. That's why, you know, I've said this before, because this is what the Lord had told me. I used to say it a lot about 2 Chronicles 7:14. I said, would you put that up, Sarah? 2 Chronicles 7:14. I've heard so many times, oh, this screen must not be on. I heard many times it said, you gotta, if you humble, seek, turn from your evil ways, you know, and seek the face of the Lord, then God will heal your land. He'll heal your land. And the Lord said, read it. I says, I know it. He says, read it. He says, then if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. Then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin. What is stopping their prayer? Sin. And then we'll heal the land. But people drop that because they don't understand it. He says, I will forgive their sin. Why do we have to have our sins forgiven? We don't. Back then, they did. But see, there's that concept of old versus new. The concept of where we're living compared to where they lived. Because of the sin of the curse of the law from what came from Adam. When you start to see that picture, you'll start to see a different understanding of what's going on. So what happened was, Jesus was saying, when Jesus came down and destroyed the curse of the law, we went from being an earthly being into a heavenly being. I said, I never thought of that before. That was his actual words. We went from being an earthly being to a heavenly being. Now, when you start to look at that, when God created Adam, he was a heavenly being. He was a heavenly being. In other words, he had all of heaven in him through the Spirit of God. When God breathed his Spirit into him, he had all of heaven in him. The king, he was in a kingdom. It was heaven on earth. And he was supposed to watch over, guide, and protect him. See, and that's what happened when we went down there. And that's what happened was when Jesus died and broke that curse, he brought us into a new understanding. He took us right back in the spiritual realm. So you can, from the physical, you can't see it. From the spiritual, if you realize we were transported back over all that sin, cursing, and everything else into the place right before Adam sinned. And he, whatever Adam had there in the Garden of Eden, it was a heavenly being. He was a heavenly being. He was designed by God to watch over, take care of the earth, do all those things. And that's what happened. Jesus brought us back to that place. In the 2 Chronicles 7 or 5:17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. Now, I'm telling you one thing. When I've read that, I'm thinking, is that a creature or a creation? A creation. Creature. Okay. It's all new. Everything's washed away. All the sin. We're not a sin. We do not have a sin nature anymore. Adam did not have a sin nature when he was created. He had a God nature, which is the righteousness of Christ. He has a righteousness. That's why we now are making righteous through Christ, because he made us that new creature. A new creation, brand new. Old things, sin, have gone. It was really amazing when he said that about being a heavenly being compared to being an earthly being. And I said that with that video. It was so powerful when he said that you are here. Your body is down there. The heavenly being is here with me. But the earthly being is on the floor dying, dead. Without the spirit, bodies die. See, the Spirit of God is life. Without the Spirit of God, you have no life. It's gone. It's done. Man, that was quite something when I got that revelation, that it's the Spirit of God that brings forth life. Also, you know, when you ask Jesus Christ into your life, the Holy Spirit comes into you. That's how you become brand new. That's being born again. Just had a conversation with a lady I was talking on the office. And she was asking me about that, you know, the two, you know, being born again, and if you're baptized in the Holy Ghost, there was something on that order that we're working with and trying to get her to understand what I believe is going on, and we'll figure that out eventually. But the whole process is you have to realize that you're brand new in the Lord. And this is exactly what's going on. If you do not know who you are in Christ, you won't understand this. You realize, Daniel, he was here, blew me away when he started talking about it. He says, well, you know, the Holy Spirit said, God says, I'm going to put my Holy Spirit inside you. I don't care how bad you are. I don't care what you're going, but I'm putting my Holy Spirit in. If you ask, I'll put my Holy Spirit in you. Then the Holy Spirit can help clean you up. If you look in a kingdom of God, or in a kingdom aspect, if there's a kingdom that goes out and takes another country, Miles said that a lot about when the King of England came in, or England came in and took over Bahamas. He said they sent a governor. What did the governor do? He changed the language, and he changed the culture. He changed the language, and he changed the culture. If you look at the Holy Spirit coming in you, what is he going to do? He's going to change your language, and he's going to change your culture. You probably can't find it. I don't know. You can try if you can. I hate to put you in a bad position here. But about the ambassador, is there any way you might see if you can find that video? Ambassador has been a long time. Huh? Okay, if you know where it's at, can we play that? Because that goes right along with what we're saying. It's amazing because God sent the Holy Spirit in to change your life, to change your culture, to change your nature. See, when we start to come forth, because I came out of a Dutch Reformed church. It wasn't until last year in the middle of the hospital stay that I found out about what redemption really meant. I've been talking about redeemed, set free. I learned that the Bible said that God, or Jesus, when he died on the cross, destroyed the works of the devil. And I was sitting there, well, what is the works of the devil? You hear these things, but sometimes you don't have the understanding. What does the devil's work have to do? I just told you. He tempts you so that you sin. That's all he's got. He's going to make you sick. He's going to make you angry. He's going to put people around you to curse you and cause you problems. He's going to do all these things, and he's going to try to do whatever he can to make you sin. Do you got that? We want to play that real quick.
Ambassador's primary objective is to take to represent a nation from which he is sent to a nation that he is in, he's sent to represent the nation he comes from, his nation of origin. His objective is not so much to go to this new nation and establish a comfortable lifestyle, but his primary objective is to come into that nation and represent the interests of the nations from which he came. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. So like I'm from Ethiopia, and an Ethiopian ambassador that's in D.C., in that embassy, the Ethiopian embassy, which I actually happened to drive by this past week, I was doing a leadership conference up there at the Ethiopian church, and we had a national convention, and it was awesome. God showed up, and signs and wonders, and all kinds of good things happened. But I was there, and we drove by the embassy, and that embassy is a property less than the size of this sanctuary right here, but it's sovereign land. Even though it's located in Washington, D.C., in the United States of America, when I step into the gates of that embassy, I'm actually stepping into Ethiopia. That's sovereign land. That's powerful. Now, within that land, if that embassy ever got attacked by any kind of hostile, you know, elements around, you know, from U.S. or anybody else, it is comparable to the government of Ethiopia being attacked. And you've seen that in the news in the past, where when a U.S. embassy has been attacked, and the United States sends all that it needs to send to defend it because it is sovereign property. And it is guarded as such. It is sovereign land. So you need to know that as an ambassador, where you were the sole of your feet. Come on, somebody. You know where I'm going with this. So your domain, where God establishes you, your job, your school, wherever you go, wherever you're established in line with the purpose of God for your life, that is sovereign land. Now the key is you got to be in line with what God is telling you to do. You can't be in rebellion. But if you're in line with the will of God, that is one of the fringe benefits of being an ambassador, is that you carry a mobile embassy with you wherever you go. Say amen, somebody. You are an embassy. Now, this is also an embassy of ambassadors. Look at your neighbor and tell him, you're an ambassador. You know, that makes you a dignitary. Say amen, somebody. See, that's probably all you're going to remember. No, I'll rebuke that. You're going to receive the word, and you're going to receive the engrafted word that's going to change our lives. Amen. But we're dignitaries. Now, here's another fringe benefit of being an ambassador. An ambassador lives the same economic status or has the right or the privilege to live in the same economical status as he would if he was back in his own homeland. So an American ambassador living in Ethiopia has the same living lifestyle. What's the word I'm looking for? Standard of living. Thank you. Has the same standard of living as though he was living in America. So he is not subject to the economic status of the community in which he happened to be. There's provision available to him that he is able to maintain the status of the government, the kingdom that he is representing. But that is contingent upon the fact that he is representing that kingdom. Say amen, somebody. See, that's why you can't disassociate yourself from the purpose of God and trying to claim the benefits. Amen. You got to plug into your purpose. But along with that purpose, as you're walking that thing out, these fringe benefits are all around you. That's why Jesus said, if you seek the kingdom and it's all its righteousness, all of these things will follow you. He didn't say it might happen. He didn't say you have to go through a 5-step program. He didn't say you have to confess it 10,000 times. Now, I'm not against confession, but confession is to change our mind, not to change God's mind, or not to manipulate God to give us what he already gave us on the cross. We confess because we want to line ourselves up with the truth of what God has already said. But we experience those benefits as we walk in line with his divine purpose for our lives. But as an ambassador, that's your fringe benefit. That's your right. See, my wife and I don't live large by any stretch of the imagination, but we do live large. Because, you know, we just came back from Nicaragua and Costa Rica. You know, I'm from Ethiopia, you know, and we live in the top 1 percentile of the world. Now, by American standards, we're probably, you know, we're all right. You know? And you know, but here's what I do know. Everything I ever needed, ever since I came to Jesus, I've always had. I've always had. I have always been able to, you know, well, most of the time, been able to pay my bills on time. You know, and the times that I didn't, God worked it out. But I have food in my belly. I have a covering over my house. I have healthy kids, a healthy wife. And I'm walking out the call of God on my life. There's nothing more important. Listen, you know, it's important to understand that you're called to prosper. But you need to understand your prosperity is supposed to be contingent upon your faithfulness to the purpose. The prosperity is supposed to parallel your purpose. It is not supposed to be prosperity for the sake of prospering. There is a prosperity coming. And we believe in healing, we believe in prosperity, but how many of you know how much better is it? It's good to get healed, but it is better to heal somebody. Say amen, somebody. See, we got to shift our paradigm from how do I get God to get me what I need to how do I get built up enough to go do what he wants me to do. Amen. Now, another fringe benefit, and I'm almost done here, guys, so bear with me, of being an ambassador is the defense mechanism that is built in. That you have the backing of the kingdom that you represent at all times, as long as you're representing that kingdom. Now, does God punish you, or if you miss the will of God, or if you're out of whack? You know, let me back up. There are consequences to disobedience. And you step out of the will of God, then it's going to be difficult on you. God doesn't stop loving us, but it becomes difficult. The way of the transgressor is hard, is what the Bible says. Now, it doesn't mean your access to God is broken. You can come boldly anytime as a child of the King and be restored and cleansed. But when you're walking in line with the will of God for your life, God defends you. You don't have to try to talk God into defending you. Listen, if an embassy overseas gets attacked, that is a United States embassy, how long do you think it takes the president to send his army down there? Not long at all. Have you seen it happen? Not long at all. In fact, it's a quick excuse to go and bomb a few folks. Well, I mean, I'm not being political about that. You know, I'm just saying, it doesn't take long for that reaction to take place. Because that embassy is you. See, as a child of God who's walking out the purposes of God and the kingdom of God, you have that, the angelic host around you at all times ready to execute on your behalf to defend you against enemies that you know of and against enemies you don't know of. At all times. He is faithful to do that. That's your fringe benefit as an ambassador. This is good news, isn't it? See, we live on purpose because there's no better way to live. The alternative is not acceptable.
Yep. It's interesting to see what he's talking about, the ambassador, because we are the ambassador. Why was that? Because when we asked Jesus Christ in our life, the Holy Spirit came into us. But if we don't understand that we're a new person, that the Holy Spirit can do all things, that we're representing heaven. Because if you don't understand about heaven, you don't understand about your authority in the kingdom of God, the power and authority, what happens is, and I've heard one here a while back, I talked a little bit about it, but it says there is a shocking truth hidden in plain sight. A truth so fundamental that once you see it, your entire prayer life will change. Most believers are not struggling with prayer. They're struggling with identity. They pray as servants asking for permission instead of sons enforcing what already belongs to them. This is exactly what he said. Do you really know who you are? Do you know what belongs to you? Do you know what you can actually do? What is your legal rights? See, in the kingdom of God, you have to realize you have legal rights. The devil has legal rights as well. You give the devil legal rights to beat you up. Your prayer sometimes will give you the devil a legal rights. What you say will give you a legal right. You can also stop that by changing your words and your actions so that God has a legal rights to go that way. Do you realize that you can hinder your guardian angel by what you say and do? He's bound up by what you're doing. Some of the things that come out of your mouth, some of the things that happen, some of the things that go on can bind them up and stop them from being able to helping you. You say, well, why isn't God helping me? Well, it's because you're not allowing God to help you because there's situations going on. A lot of that's just because we don't know our identity. We don't have the understanding. And when I found that, I started reading this about that. You know, and until the believers return to the identity God established through Christ, what did he establish? He'd established a heavenly being. We through religion have been walking as a earthly being, a sin nature person. That's why I used to say I'm a sinner saved by grace. Boy, that's the biggest lie in the world. I'm not a sinner saved by grace. I am a new creation. Sin nature's gone. But I didn't get taught that by religion. We still have that thinking somewhat. No, I'm not. I don't have to worry about that. Because Christ is in me. The Holy Spirit's in me. And when that Holy Spirit comes in me, that's the kingdom of God. That's why Jesus said, behold, the kingdom of God is at hand. Because see, the Spirit was in him. And when he released it, that's the Holy Spirit. Life, physical, spiritual life comes forth. A person which is an earthly vessel, earthly being, has no spiritual life in them. They have a spirit, which is their soul, but they have no life. They're dead. They're spiritually dead. So their identity is not what it used to be. That's why 2 Chronicles 7:14, it says, if you humble, seek, pray, turn from your evil ways. I'm not saying we don't have to do that today, but they had to do that in order just for God to hear them, hear from heaven, and then so he can forgive their sins, so he can heal the land. So they had to do all that. It was an obedience thing. Today, we don't have to be obedient. Jesus broke that. We are children of God. We have the Spirit of God in us. And when we start to follow what God wants us to do, understand our legal right, understand as the being an ambassador that we're representing the kingdom of God. We're not just down here trying to make a little life for ourselves, do a little bit here, do a little bit there. We need to understand the full outlet of what the Holy Spirit is wanting us to do and how he wants to be. When we start getting a revelation of heaven, when we start to get the revelation of the kingdom of God and the authority and the power that we have to do these things, then immediately things start to change. That's what happened to me many years ago. I started to get this revelation. I couldn't teach it because I didn't understand it completely, but I started to get it. He says, until the believers return to the identity God established through Christ, prayer will always feel uncertain, hesitant, and powerless. The reason prayer fails is because the supplements, has no sense of his legal right to stand in God's presence. The single sin exposes the root of the problem. Prayer is not first a discipline. It is not first a desire. It is not even first an experience, an expression of faith. Prayer is first an identity act. It is the rightful function of someone who knows who they are in Christ. And when identity is forgotten, prayer becomes a cry from earth instead of a decree from heaven. See, are you praying? And see, in the Old Testament, that what they had to pray out so God would move. That's why they had big prayer meetings. Why? Because they had to humble themselves, seek, turn from their evil ways, become together, get everything just to move the hand of God. We don't have to do that to get the hand of God to move. That's the difference. We don't have to do that. He knows us. He understands us. Why? Because he made us a king. A king is our authority and power and understanding. He's given us legal rights to rule over this earth from heaven's point of view. Our problem is we don't have the identity of what the heaven point of view is. And that's what we need to change around. When we get changed around like that, you want to see miracles happen. You want to see it happens. People come in. It's like what Thurman did. Thurman got that understanding. That's why he had so many miracles, because he knew his legal rights. He knew what he could do. He knew what he couldn't do. He knew when he could do it, and he knew how to get it changed so he could get it done at the time he's supposed to do it. That's why we went into working with, God's given us gifts. The 9 spiritual gifts: tongues, interpretation, prophecy, faith, healing, miracles, wisdom, knowledge, discerning of spirits. And I said, Father, and I was praying, I was asking, I says, how am I going to? Because you got to put yourself aside and let the Holy Spirit come in and start to show you and teach you. The more you ask, the more he'll show you. And he just put it in my heart, I need to know gift of knowledge, discerning the spirits, wisdom, and healing. And so I start praying. I said, Lord, give me these. I need these. I desire these. You said you'll give me whatever I ask. And I start getting that. Before long, I'd be there, and I'd start praying for somebody. And I like to go into the Holy Spirit so I can get into the Spirit, which sometimes people don't like that, and I have to watch it. It makes it easier to do it. But if I can't, I can still do it without it. But as soon as I start praying the Holy Spirit, I immediately attach myself to heaven. I, right there in the presence of God. asking him, what do you want about this situation? What do you want? What am I supposed to say? And immediately I start getting, you know, revelation on what the Lord wants to say to this person. And when I was praying, and I was really learned a lot by praying, because I finally got that opportunity at this other church. We're up there with the big boys, the elders of the church, which we weren't an elder with the other. But when we were there, all of a sudden I would just start to pray in the Holy Ghost. Somebody come and ask me. I wouldn't even say anything to them. I wouldn't ask them what they want. They come up and they would say something. So I said, okay, I'll go to the Lord and find out. So I started praying the Holy Ghost. Boom, a word came down. I went after it. And they said, how'd you know that? I said, I didn't. God does. And then all of a sudden I got wisdom to explain what I heard. And then it was either through the discerning of the Spirit. We had people being delivered right there in front of the church. People didn't even know about it. It was amazing what God was doing right in front of a church, which people didn't even believe in half the stuff that was going on. Why? Because I became an ambassador. I got close to the Lord. I had identity, who I was in Christ. I had to deal with it a long time. I kept saying, if he can do it, I can do it. If Paul can do it, I can do it. So I had to put myself aside and start asking the Holy Spirit, get hooked up with a heavenly being, which is a heavenly God, and let the Holy Spirit teach me, come down through here and desire to do the will of the Father. That's why I said in 80, not my will, but thy will. And he started teaching me ever since. And it's taken him a long time to get through my thick head and all the hurts and pains I've gone through and all the situation and the weakness that I've had and the, and, you know, sitting back and letting people walk all over you and all that stuff. But prayer is first an identity act. Who are you in Christ? Do you have a legal right to go into the heavenlies and pray? Because, see, when he made you a priest is one who goes before the presence of the Father. That's why I said many years ago when somebody came in and started saying, oh, wow, this book's so good about taking people to the courts of heaven. And with my understanding of knowing who I was in Christ, Jesus said in Ephesians, yeah, Ephesians 1, well, actually went down, if you go clear down to 10, 11, and 9, 10, 11, what it was saying. If you want to bring those up, Sarah, Ephesians 10, 9, 10, 11. I didn't know this at the time, but I understood it in my spirit, and I was just following through. The New Living Testament. Making known unto us. Okay. Oh, no, I didn't have it. I'm going off the Holy Ghost right now. Because I'm blowing my notes all out of the portion. God has now revealed to us his mysterious plan regarding Christ, a plan to fulfill his own good pleasure. This is his will for you. Not your will, not what you want, not the how you want to go, but how God wants you to go. It's good pleasure. It makes him happy to do this for you. Now go to the next one. And this is a plan. All the right time, at the right time, he will begin and bring everything together under the authority of Christ and everything in heaven and on earth. The authority in Christ. Now, everybody can believe that. God gave everything in heaven and earth. All authority. That's kingdom power. Kingdom power. All authority in heaven and on earth. Then the next one is awesome. When you start to find out your identity, furthermore, because we are united with Christ, we have received an inheritance from God, for he chose us in advance, and he's making everything work and according to his plan. His plan was now, because whenever somebody dies, you receive the inheritance from that person. Everything that person has now becomes yours. What does that say? Furthermore, because we are now united with Christ, as we give our life to Christ and start to follow him, we have received all authority in heaven and on earth. I about fell through when I got a revelation of that. Whew! I thought only Jesus had that. I used to say, somebody said, well, I'm going to raise somebody from the dead. I said, only Jesus did that. Jesus, we can't do anything like that. He gave us all power and authority now. Well, I didn't understand. I had to grow. I had to get to that place. I had to understand it. But when you have that understanding and the authority, and you, the prayer is first an identity act. You have to get this identity that we have all power in heaven and earth. What can come against you? The devil. He'll use the hurts and pains if you don't get them out. He gets you beat down and tore up and put you aside. It's like a lion going out and try to single out the hurt, the wounded, so they can pounce on them and kill them. That's what the devil tries to do. That's why we want people to get around family members, talk and grow and prosper and get to know one another even better, because that's how you keep yourself safe. Because you don't get singled out. You know, you're sitting there in misery. There's somebody you can call and talk to. That's what family fellowship is all about, to get each other growing and moving together and seeing some great and fantastic things. It is the rightful function of somebody who knows who they are in Christ. When their identity is forgotten, prayer becomes a cry from earth instead of a decree from heaven. Earthly being. If your prayer is crying, oh, Lord, come down and heal this person. Oh, Lord, we need your help over here. Oh, Lord. Oh, Lord. Wah, 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 wah. That doesn't sound like we got much authority and power. Doesn't sound like we got any kingdom power whatsoever. Doesn't understand that we've got all authority in heaven and earth, and we're just asking God to do whatever he wants to do. That's Old Testament. That's wrong thinking. Because we haven't got our identity down to the point what we're really understanding today. That's what the Lord's trying to get his body to understand, because we can change the world if we have this understanding. We can go out and make people different. We can't change them. They're sovereign. As the ambassador said, you're sovereign. God can't change your heart. He can't make you do anything different than what you want. If you want to be miserable, you've just chose your way, go be miserable. If you want to do something that won't work towards God, then that's fine too. He's willing to allow you to do what you want. He doesn't like it. That's not what his plan is. That's what it says right there. And he worked out according to his plan. His plan is to give you the authority, the inheritance that he gave Jesus Christ to be able to do those things. You know, what is Jesus Christ? He went and set beside God. The Bible says, he says, that we now can enter the throne room of God. Oh, no, we can't. We just have to go into the courtroom and see what God's going to do for us. That doesn't compute. Why do you want to go in the courtrooms to see what God's going to do when he gave you the authority to sit beside Jesus with the authority and power that he gave you? Not saying we're better than God, not saying that we can jump over what God's doing. But see, there's a concept here, a spiritual concept that has been missed. And when we start to get into that concept and go that way with full understanding who you are in Christ, when you pray something and you know, see, there's many times I've been praying, and I knew because the person wasn't ready to hear what was going on, didn't want to change, there's nothing's going to happen to him. That's only because God showed me that. So I prayed a prayer of agreement. And then when they didn't get healed, I'm thinking, I understand why. Doesn't mean they can't be healed, because the power was there. But they didn't know their identity. They still have issues that are holding them back. The situation's going on. There's things that God's really starting to work out and do some things and make things happen. But this is what it's about, getting to know our identity. And this is what the Lord's trying to say. We need to know who we are in Christ. You might say, well, I've heard it, I've understand it, and don't worry about it. Let's go on down to a new subject, something else. No, God says today, because we're going to run into a lot of people who do not know who they are in Christ. And if we don't have a complete understanding of how to explain it to them, it'll never come to pass. You are a new creation. You are a heavenly being. You can go to heaven. See, and that's what we're also talking on the same thing was about the difference between the king. He made you a king and a priest. The king gives you the authority and power to activate everything on this earth. The priest lets you go before the throne room of God. See, I used to go before the throne room of God just to praise and worship, but I always backed in because I didn't feel I was worthy. That's why I said in Ephesians 4, the first verse says, Paul says, I pray that you're worthy of your calling. If you're not worthy of your calling, you got a problem you need to get to resolve. You need to find out why you're not worthy, because you don't know who you are in Christ. If you don't feel worthy, you can't do what God wants you to do. You have the authority and power, but it's still not going to be. It's going to be weak. You're going to be like an earthly vessel calling up to God. Oh, come on, do this, do this, do that, go there. No, but when you have the power of God, Jesus went up and he prayed in the morning. And when he came out, he did not pray again. He commanded. He knew his authority. He knew his power. But he also understood the Holy Spirit. I just feel that the Holy Spirit, I want to ask just before I say this because I don't want to mess this up, but I'm sensing we have the same knowledge that Jesus had because he got his wisdom from the Holy Spirit because Jesus came as a man. He said it was the Holy Spirit that healed people. The Holy Spirit is God. When you, and I'll put it this way, when you go in before the throne of God, it's like you, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit, you're all having a fantastic time. Because you're all there. If you literally, in your mind, I'm not saying physically going, but in your mind, when you go in the spiritual realm and you start to think, you know, it's like, well, I want to go fishing. So you see yourself out fishing, right? And I want to go to golf, and I go over here. I want to make cooking, or I want to go to this craft store over here. You see yourself going. That's not mind control. That's thinking in the Spirit. That's moving in the Spirit. So what happens, you're sitting here and you're saying, Lord, I just entered into your throne room, and you start to see yourself going up. You go into the heavenly heaven, into the heavens, and you come in before the Father. I go into the throne room, and all of a sudden there's Jesus. And I mean, God's there, this big bright light. You can't see him. And the bright light just praise and worship and glorify him. And then Jesus is sitting on the right-hand side, do the same thing. And then when I've done that, I just seen Jesus says here, there's a throne room, throne right beside him. Sit down with him and just sit in his presence and bask in his love and see what he says to you. You say, it's impossible. No, it's not. Who are you? Do you know who you are? Can you do that? If you can't do that, you don't know who you are. You don't know what Jesus did to you when you got born again, when you've been redeemed, when the Spirit came into you. You have a legal right to go there now. But as you go as a priest and you go before the Father and you start to say something and he starts to tell you, then you can come back as a government of ambassador of God and produce and speak forth the government over this situation. The government over these situations, the government over sickness, the government desires over the disease. You'll start to know what the Lord has to say. You'll start to understand these things. The in-depthness is what the Lord is looking for right now. The relationship is what the Lord is looking for right now. We can all do it. We just aren't always thinking or wanting. But get serious with God, and I guarantee you what, you're going to be sitting there, and all of a sudden, it was so amazing because I had a going out towards Omaha when I was working on the road. There's a guy named Darren's Coffee Shop on the radio, on Omaha radio station. And he would take and he would talk to somebody within 4 to 5 minutes. He knew what was wrong with that person, what he needed to talk to him about. I remember this one lady called and he talked. And he says, you know, he was just talking to her about, I don't know, 4 minutes, no more than 4 minutes. And all of a sudden he says, what happened to you? Were 8 years old. She says, I don't know. I can't think of anything. And all of a sudden he says, but two counselors and my pastor all say something happened when I was 8 years old. They canceled her to find out 8 years old. He talked to her for 4 minutes and found out there was something when he was 8 years old. How did he do that? He had a relationship with God. He walked in the gifts. God spoke to him and told him exactly what's going on, and he didn't have to take years of counseling. He didn't have to take years of talking. He knew exactly. That's what you've got. That's the gift God's given you. That's your identity in Christ. That's who you can be in an ambassador. If you want it, take it, pray about it, desire it, and watch what God's going to do. This is a year of victory, a year of causing things to happen, a year of people growing in such a way. You walk in and you'll know immediately what's going on with a person. You know if you're supposed to pray for them. You know if you weren't supposed to pray for them. You know how to pray for them. You know why you're going to pray for them. And you might know there's something that you got to talk to them before you pray for to get something settled before they'll accept what you got to pray for. That's what this is about, knowing your identity in Christ. Then in that video, God said, you're here. Your body's on the floor. The heavenly part, which is the spirit, was up there with God. The physical part was down here. Are you going to walk as a heavenly being or going to walk as an earthly being? It's up to you. That's what this is all about. Praise the Lord. Father, we come before you and ask you for your blessing. Ask you for revelation, knowledge, and showing exactly what we need to do. It's not to come against anybody, but it's to help them grow and prosper and be in you, Father. And we love you and we praise you and we worship you and adore you. In all things we give you glory, honor, and praise, and we worship you. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, amen and amen. To keep us safe.